Cutting Audio. Deathlands.
Here it comes.
Outlanders.
Warning, meltdown imminent.
The Executioner.
Tag, you're it.
Stony Man.
Brace for impact!
Now playing at the theater in your mind.
Cutting Audio presents James Axler's Deathlands. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Terrence Aselford, Kate Torrey, Timberly Chanel, Thomas Penny, Christopher Walker, and Mort Shelby. Deathlands 61, Skydark Spawn. Ryan Carter opened his eye and closed it just as quickly as a blinding jolt of pain lanced through his skull, to be matched by a painful churning in his belly. He half rose to his feet, then sank back to the floor dizzily. Those damn jumps always took a toll on him. However, the Matt Trans jump was finally over, and as usual, he and his companions lay on the floor of the chamber, trying to gather their wits and to keep the remnants of their last meal in their stomachs, and failing miserably. It had taken the Outlanders a long time to find this particular Matt Trans unit, and in the intervening time they had run out of food. If they hadn't found this particular jump unit in time, they might have starved to death. After a few minutes, Ryan tried opening his eye again. The pain was still there, but had now settled into a dull throb that he could handle. His stomach was a different story.
My word.
Doc Tanner removed his swallow's eye kerchief from a pocket of his frock coat and wiped away a trickle of blood that had seeped from his nose.
It never ceases to amaze me how utterly incapacitating these jaunts of ours can be. Oh, dear, Jack, you seem to have added a bit more color to your shirt.
Ugh, so much for last meal.
Jack Lauren hadn't fared as well. The front of the young albino's tan t-shirt was stained with vomit that had leaked out the corners of his mouth. He tried to clean himself up with a few wipes of his sleeve, but all that did was spread the mess around. Ryan's son, Dean, had at least fared better than the others. He looked a bit dizzy, but was already able to stand up. J.B. Dick sat with his back against one of the chamber's walls. He lifted his head and had his eyes tightly closed as if he were in pain. He was struggling to catch his breath.
You all right, J.B.?
The armorer shook his head as he removed his wire-rimmed glasses from his shirt pocket and put them on.
I had a nightmare during the jump. I was alone in a forest somewhere. As I walked along a path, I was confronted by a huge mutie.
Chin it?
No, that's the thing. When it approached me, I leveled my blaster and squeezed the trigger. But the scatter gun didn't fire. I tried it again and again, but nothing. And the creature kept coming, but the blaster just wouldn't work. I didn't know what was wrong with it because I'd just finished stripping and cleaning it in my dream. So there I was, pointing a dead blaster at a mutie just itching to chill me.
And did it?
Tore me to pieces with a set of talons as long and sharp as my techna. And I couldn't even wake up. Hurt like hell.
Ryan looked at Mildred, wondering if the dream meant anything.
I'd say it was a case of performance anxiety.
Even in their predicament, the doctor could still find it within herself to joke.
What? I don't have any problems with that.
No, I don't mean sexual performance, John. Our lives often depend on your knowledge. My guess is that lurking somewhere in your subconscious, you have a fear that at some point, when it matters the most, you'll let us down.
But I was the one who was chilled, not any of you.
Yeah, and that's probably the way you'd want it to happen if it ever did.
JB smiled warmly at Mildred. Jack put his hand on JB's shoulder.
Not worry. Not let us down.
Thanks, buddy.
The few moments Mildred had spent analyzing JB's dream had done wonders to revitalize the group. Christy Roth was showing signs of coming around, and the rest of the companions were on their feet, but still pretty groggy. Doc tapped the silver lion's head handle of his sword stick against the walls of the chamber.
I suspect that this Mattrans is not constructed of armor glass, as is customary.
Ryan raised his arm and pounded the butt of his Sig Sauer against one of the dark, charcoal-gray walls. Instead of the familiar tink of reinforced glass, his ears were met with the sound of a dull, hard thud.
Sounds like it's made from concrete.
Not only that, but do you see any LD button?
Ryan scanned the walls, realizing that this chamber wasn't equipped with a last destination button.
Hey, there isn't one.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I never jumped into a redoubt that didn't have one.
Perhaps it's a one-way chamber.
What would you need one of those for?
Who knows why those pre-dark techs did what they did?
Yes, the motivations of your pre-dark government have baffled me at the best of times. Add another puzzle to the file for future reference.
Ryan agreed with Doc. Hopefully, whatever the reason behind this installation's construction, it would be made clear to them soon enough.
At least we're alive.
Ryan turned and saw that Christy was stirring. Her sentient hair had unfurled and was now stretching to its full length, falling over her shoulders like red waves.
How are you, lover?
I've had worse jumps. Any idea where we might have ended up?
Ryan shook his head. Usually it was possible to get an idea of the chamber's location by the color of its armor-glass walls, but not this time.
I'll take a reading with my sextant when we get outside. Hopefully the skies will be clear.
And hopefully there'll be some food. I'd even be happy with self-heats.
Ryan sat down with his back up against one of the room's six walls. Now that he knew his companions were all right, he decided to give himself some time to recover from the jump. He still had a fire-blasted headache, and his son's comment hadn't helped. 15 minutes passed before the group had recovered, and Ryan could risk opening the chamber door. As they learned over time, the friends needed to be on triple alert when entering a redoubt, never knowing who or what lay beyond the door. Anyone or anything could have discovered a break in the solid concrete walls and found a way inside. Ryan put his hand on the door.
Triple red, people.
He looked around the group, making sure that each of his friends was prepared for whatever might be out there. Christy had her Smith & Wesson at the ready, while Doc clutched his Lamar blaster. Mildred had her target revolver in her right hand, bracing her right arm at the wrist with her left hand to steady it. JB had opted for his scatter gun, despite its worrisome malfunction in his dream. Dean leveled his Browning high power, and Jack brought up the rear with his Colt Python. Ryan had his Sig Sauer ready, but since he was opening the door, it was unlikely he'd be the one taking the first shot in the event of trouble.
Ready?
Everyone nodded. He opened the door into an empty room. After a few moments of tension, the companions relaxed somewhat. The room was small and completely bare. The walls were made of cinder blocks, and the floor and ceiling had been constructed of poured concrete. When the door had opened, a single naked bulb close to the high ceiling switched on, casting a dim light into the room. The room's main feature was a concrete staircase that led almost straight up 30 or more feet before terminating at a landing that was about 4 feet directly below a set of large doors. The doors appeared to serve as a hatchway.
What do you make of that?
Strange.
Ryan didn't argue with Jack. The entrance to the redoubt was like nothing he had seen before.
Hey, there isn't even a handle on the outside of the chamber.
Ryan turned to take another look at the chamber and saw that what Christy had said was true. If they shut the door, they wouldn't be able to use the chamber again.
Looks like this really is a one-way chamber. And that...
He gestured to the stairway.
Looks like the only way out.
Well, if that's the only way out, we should quit standing around and find out where it goes.
Without another word, Ryan headed up the stairs toward the landing. When he reached it, he had to crouch to avoid hitting his head on the doors above them. He signaled the others to join him. The rest of the group reached the landing.